age of decay, lack of direction and purpose. God has raised his servant, Yemi Adeleju, to raise models of integrity and power. Models that rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the equal of grace can take you from where you are to where he has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Yemi Adeleju for the Word of His Grace.
We read from verse 1 through to verse 8, and Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 3, from verse 1 through to verse 8. If you are there, say amen. If you are still opening it, say, oh me. But if I'd like for you to open your Bible, there it's on the screen, but open your home Bible. I welcome you to church once again, and I welcome all our internet viewers. Everyone joining the service live this morning, you are welcome in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're reading Acts chapter 3 from verse 1 through to verse 8. 1, 2, go. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You will walk, you will lead, you will praise God. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. 1, 2, go. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'd like you to announce to 7 people before you take your seat, I will manifest. Thank you, choir, go to your seat. Prof, I will manifest. 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 Wait for me, you will see, I will manifest. Please take your seat, you will manifest. Thank you, wonderful choir. I will manifest. Let me start by saying, or by reminding you, that you are a star. Now, anything that I say that looks like your own, respond to it. I am a star. You are a star. When Abraham was despaired, when Abraham became discouraged, and told God, it is the Eliezer of this Damascus that will be my heir. Abraham challenged. He said, God, I have been relating with you and you have not given me a child. It is this Eliezer of Damascus that will be my heir. And God said, no. Come. That's God. And he said, come out. Look up. And count the number of the stars. So shall your seed be. So the seed of Abraham, you are a seed of Abraham, and you are a star. When God was asking Abraham to number the stars, you were there. You are part of the stars that he was numbering about, or trying to number, that he was looking at. You are a star. I am a star. And the destination of stars is shining. It is the destination of every star to shine. God wants you to shine in whatever sphere of influence. My subject this morning is 7 spirits that hold down. 7 spirits that hold down. There are spirits that hold down. God wants you to rise
as a star and shine. But there are forces that hold people down that wouldn't want them to shine. There are many of them, but I want to talk about just seven if my time permits. So your destination is shining. And it is innate in every creature to rise. It's in us. We want to shine. We want to rise. And that's why when you see a little child, this child is just, growing up, the child wants to rise. It is in you that is a desire to rise. I want to rise. You see a little child, this child is 4 months old now, this child is 5, 6 months old, 7 months old, this child wants to rise. So he wants to get up and hold on to anything. Anything he can hold on to. He wants to rise. It's in him. I want to rise. Somebody help me say that. I want to rise. I want to mount up with wings as eagle. I want to run and not be weary. I want to walk and not faint. The desire is strong. And the longing is passionate. A very strong desire to be better than what you are now. There's a desire in every man to be better than what he is. If you don't have that desire, maybe you are dead. Every man, there's a desire in him to get better. There's a desire in him to rise above his present level. If a man has no job, he desires to get a job. And as soon as he gets one, and it's on a salary of 20,000 naira in a month, he shares testimony. But after a while, he desires to get better than that level. It's a desire in us, I want to be better. And it is not a wrong desire, it is innate in us, it is normal, it is healthy. If you don't have that desire, something is wrong. It is also the program and the will of God for you to rise. It's a program of God. That's what God has programmed for you. To rise and to shine. Our anchor scripture this month, the book of Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 1. The Bible says, arise and shine. Arise, shine. For your light is come. Or has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So the word of God says, rise. I need you to shine, but to shine, you must first rise. You must rise. What did they? You will rise. You will arise. You will shine. So what God wants you to arise? Shine, your light is come. You need light to rise. He said, your light is come. And the glory of God is risen upon you. There are very many people, however, who are not rising as they desire and as God has ordained because of some compelling forces holding them down. Please, mark what I said. You desire to rise. It is the will of God for you to rise. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18 that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more. So it is okay to start small, but it is a sin or bad to remain small. Your beginning may be small, but your latter end shall greatly increase. In other words, you will arise. And we are saying it is now time. The choir sang, no more room for procrastination. It's time for us to arise. I will arise. And so despite the longing in us, despite the desire in us, there are certain forces, so many of them that are pulling us down or compelling us to remain like this. I refuse to remain like this. Compelling forces. Forces, power, spirits keeping us down. Saying you will not arise. You will not be tall. You will not go beyond this level. I want you to be small. That's just the spirit. But see, the first thing you need to note is that you must first arise. If you must shine, if you must get to the place that God has destined for you, if you must get better than your present situation, you must first arise. You must rise up. You can't sit down and go far. You can't sit still and fold your hands and expect things to start happening. Nothing just happens.
Let me say that. Say louder.
Any happening you see in people's lives is made to happen. If anything must happen to you, you must first arise. You must get up. I want to be better than this, then I need to get up. Right, so get out of that comfort zone. You are too comfortable. One of the things that will prevent your rising is comfort. So many things stopping us from rising. A man that cannot arise will be grounded. So many things will happen to that man. Alright, I want to arise. I want to shine. What are those spirits because of time? I don't know why this time is so flying. Let's pick them one by one. Number one, there is this spirit that subtly prevents people from rising. It is called the spirit of discouragement. The spirit of what? Discouragement. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, from verse 3 to 6, we see a graphic description, a biblical example of the operations of the spirit of discouragement. And David and his men came to the city. They came. Where were they before? We're coming to that. And behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Next verse. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David's wife. She was formerly the wife of Nabal. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spoke. The people now said, let us stone David. Because of the soul of the people were much grieved. Every man for his son and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. His encouragement. We have all made mistakes. I have made a lot of mistakes.
Thank you, sir. Hey, oh Lord.
But would you ground your destiny? Many of us have built a monument around our past mistakes. Be totally discouraged. Even in the church, some of us have grown so discouraged that we are now a discouragement to others. Somebody is excited in doing God's work, and you are sitting like this. You are a discouragement. You are discouraged, and you are a discouragement.
You remember what Jesus Christ said? It is okay, offenses will come, but woe to that person through whom offenses come. If you make anybody to stumble, woe. That's what Jesus Christ said. So please, watch out for the spirit of discouragement. Don't be discouraged. No matter what happens, don't be discouraged. The devil wants you discouraged. You know, let me tell you what the devil is looking for. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your hope. He wants to steal your faith. So he bombards you with all kinds. Then you remember those who did not pay you, those who owe you and did not pay you, and you are just discouraged. And you are making effort. You are striving, but things are not working. You are not discouraged. It is a spirit. Let me tell you one key to life. Once you are disappointed here, move there. Never allow discouragement. You will never know. There are sons here, Minister Sheyi and Feyi, they have followed me almost to collect my visa application result almost 6 times. They followed me. The only way by which they know that they have given me another no, shall I tell you? I will collect, you know, they wait for me, they will collect the result, and then I'll open it. You know, you are exactly want to open, so I open and I realize that your application is refused. So how would they know? They simply pick my phone, calling a minister. Somebody had invited me to come and preach in Port Harcourt, to come and preach in somewhere else. And I have said, I most likely will not be around that time. I will be very busy. So I might not be able to come, so don't plan. So they see me pick phone and call. Hey guy, what's happening? Our program is I will come for that program. So that's how they know that I want to come by, you know. You will never see discouragement. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let anybody do anything that will get you discouraged. The moment you are not discouraged, that spirit will leave you. Adopt the policy of non-recognition. Don't recognize that discouragement. Don't give it recognition. Leave it. Treat it as nothing significant. Treat disappointment as not significant. Treat failure as not significant. Move on with your life. I have told you, don't allow discouragement because you fail. Failure is not final. You are still alive to know that you failed. That's a reason to give thanks to God. Somebody wrote an exam and said, I want to commit suicide. That's discouragement. Say, I want to commit suicide. To back yashaye. A lady wrote back final exam and failed. The mother was coming, attending this church. She was attending a very good church. So she was contemplating suicide. So the mother came to me and I said, okay, give me a phone number. So I called her and I said, can you see me? She said, yes. I said, okay, I just want to have audience with you. Your mom told me you want to commit suicide. It's a good thing, but it's a straight ticket to hell if you kill yourself. But let's see. So she came to my office again. And then I said, you are an ingrate. She looked at me and was, I failed bar final exam. That's the exam at the law school. I said, you are an ingrate. Just because you failed bar final exam, you want to kill yourself. I said, you are fast, you are graduated from the university. You just failed bar final. You now want to kill yourself. You are not grateful to God that you are even alive to check the result on the notice board and see that you failed. And I told her the story of a senior colleague of mine in university. When I was a 200 level, it was the final year. And then wrote bar final, he went to the law school, wrote bar final exam, and came to Ife to jubilate that finally, this is a lawyer in the making. I have passed law OAU exam. I have written bar final exam. From based on what I wrote, I am going to make it. And
So he went to rejoicing. He went to the town and rejoiced. And they were coming back and had a crash. The vehicle entered the trailer and he died on the spot. 2 weeks after, the result was released. He was one of the few people who made 2-1. But he was not alive to see the result. So I said, you are not discouraged because you failed. You don't know it's an opportunity for you to do it better. And you are not crying. She said, that's it. Come on. And thank God, some of my friends and colleagues are now lecturers at the law school. So I called one of them, Pastor Samuel Samuel. I said, Pastor, I have one daughter here. You are laughing. Do I know what you do outside church? I don't know what you do. So, and I still say, because if I now I have stopped calling people with my daughter, so that you will not be angry that he called that person my daughter. That last year, me, he didn't call me daughter. This year, me, everybody, we are just, all of us are brethren in the house of God. Amen. We are brethren. Bro, we are sis. Where? See, I might not know if I have son. If it's sons, I will know if I'm their father. Now, I won't call anybody my son. So, if it's anybody who calls me father, that is, oh, okay, say father name, then you will have to behave son. You see, because calling you, oh, my son, my daughter, we put responsibility on me to do is your father. But if you are the one that called you, oh, to call me father, it puts responsibility on you to act as my son. That's the level I want to stay now. In Ayamizo, after many years of experience, I think I should begin to adjust. It's proper. So if you call me daddy, responsibility on you is on to behave as a son or daughter to that daddy. So when you now do that, he's my son, she's my daughter. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. And you get the blessing. Amen. See, we grow every day. We learn every day. We mature every day. So I called Pastor Samolu. I said, so the lady was like, where will I get 1,000,000 naira to pay for another exam? I said, you don't need to pay. It's receipt you will do. She didn't even know. So I called Pastor, who is a lecturer at the law school Abuja, and I put him on speaker. I said, this is my daughter failed by final, and then Pastor said, okay, let her see me when she gets to Abuja. She's going to write a receipt. How many subjects did you fail? The receipt of so time to next by so time next year. Right. So she wrote the receipt exam and she passed. And so she was called to the bar. She's now a lawyer. And this happened some years back. So after passing, she now came to appreciate me and she gave me prophet offering. I collected it. Yes, sir. Abidadi, Mokba. She brought drink, she brought envelope. Hotel, when we look here, you are a lawyer now. God bless you. If she had died, healed herself because of discouragement. Don't let discouragement kill you. There is nothing that has happened or is happening to you that has not happened to people before. And they didn't die. Take out the spirit of discouragement from your life. Tell that spirit, I refuse to be discouraged. You failed an exam, I refuse to be discouraged. I got disappointed, I refuse to be discouraged. I applied for a job, they turned me down, I refuse to be discouraged. I go on again, I try again. Righteous fall like seven times he gets up again. He keeps getting up. So get up. Don't allow discouragement. So this man said, stone them in. Let's stone him. It gets to a point that sometimes the people you have even supported, the people you have helped, the people you have assisted, the people you have led, it could get to a time because of what happened, they carry stone. Let us stone him. These men were useless men. Men that were discontented. Men that were disoriented. Men who didn't know what they were going, where they were going. Men who were in debt. They gathered themselves to David. And David became a leader over them. And he began to guide them. He began to provide for them. He began to lead them to battle. He turned them to warriors. Now there was a discouraging event. And they said, stone him. Don't get discouraged.
When those who have been following before now carry stone and say, "Let's stone me," it is part of the price of leadership. Don't get discouraged. If you must lead, if you must stay in front, get ready for many things. I refuse to be discouraged. It is a spirit. It's a spirit. If it creeps into your life, it holds you down. Number two, the spirit of infirmity. Luke chapter number 13, verse 10 and verse 11. Job chapter 2, verse 7 to verse 9. Luke chapter 13, the spirit of infirmity. Now this morning, I am going to lead you to pray. Will you pray? Please, will we pray? I may not mention all the seven spirits tonight, this morning, because I want us to pray. Whatever number I'm able to mention, I need us to pray about it. The spirit of infirmity. Now, the Bible says he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. What happened? And behold, pay attention, there was a woman which had the spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't lift up herself. The spirit of infirmity kept her down. 18 years. The spirit, I want you to watch out for your life. Watch your life. The spirit of infirmity could come with anything as small as malaria. Anything that gets you uncomfortable, that robs you of the ability to do what you normally do, your usual chores, your routine, whatever interrupts your routine, your proper routine, for example, prayer. You used to pray and wait on the Lord. The spirit of infirmity comes. You cannot pray again. You cannot wait on God again. He doesn't want you to write. That's the way the spirit of infirmity operates. The spirit of infirmity, spirit of the spirit of weakness. That spirit can make a man sleep and be turning on the bed. Be dead. What am I here? I'm tired. I want to sleep small. Sleep a little. This woman could not lift up herself. That's how you have been trying. You have been struggling to lift up yourself. And you have not been able to lift up yourself. The spirit of infirmity. You want to do something, you write an exam, that is when fitness will come. I remember as a sports person, I was a sprinter, I was a footballer, I played football better than I ran. I was a goalkeeper for my school, and for NYSC, I was goalkeeper for NYSC Borno State. I was the president of Copper Solution, I was a goalkeeper. I mean, I know don't tell me because I'm born again, I cannot climb. I must play football. I must play football. But he must not disturb fellowship. And he must not disturb church. When I began to lose interest in football was when I get born again, and then once there's a conflict between football time and church time, that football will have to go. And that's it. And I play football. Goalkeeper, you know, and I was the one dragging all the sisters. You know, sisters, they are very soft. Dragging them to go and watch football. Bruno State NYC is playing, Kano State NYC, and Papa is a great goalkeeper. He said, Papa, I'm going to Papa! Papa is driving. Play football. Play football. But in sprinting, running, I was always, anything I would do, I want to be excellent. We spoke about excellent spirit in the school of the spirit this morning. I strive to be excellent. I still do. I still want to be excellent in whatever I do. I want to see the thought of excellence. So it bothers me when anything around me is short of excellence. It disturbs me. And so I get lots of disturbances over this church. And that's the truth. Heat. I will run and gap everybody with everybody. But when it is time for it, the final heat, one small malaria. My head, when that small malaria comes, my head will be banging, down, and my temperature will be high. And I know, at that time, if I run from here to here, I will collapse. So I won't be able to participate I never participated in any final of his house. And I was the first. I didn't realize it was the spirit of infirmity. A metonico motayo. The spirit of infirmity does not want you to exert. In Job chapter number 2, when Job fell sick, when the enemy struck him, attacked him with infirmity, could he be a man on the sick bed? Can he be thinking of building a house? He wants to spend all his money to get well. Look at what the scripture says. So, Job chapter 2, verse 7. Hear what the Bible says. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. Let's look at it from verse 5. I want to see you to see what he told God. Verse 5. Thank you, Miriam. Verse 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, King for king. Yes. All that a man has will he give for his life. Verse 5 now. Very quickly. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will cause thee to thy faith. If you affect his health, he will cause you. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, is in your hand, but don't touch his life, save his life. And then, verse 7, Lori Buruku, Satan, issue. He jumped out of the presence of the Lord, and then he smote you. You will not be smitten. This morning, I want to pray for everybody here saying amen, here or online. Any power that has smitten you or planning to smite you, let them be consumed by fire. Any power that has smitten your children, any of your children, or planning to smite, let them be consumed by fire. Somebody shout fire! You need to shout it, fire! It's much dope. We saw boy from the soul of his crown. After I tell you, you see the devil is very crazy. To myself, by you, after there finally. From his soul, how can that man sit down? How can he stand up? That was how he was sitting on ashes. Ever query job to cushion his head. Verse 8. Took what shed and scraped himself and sat down among the ashes. And in verse 9, where will we stop? Then his wife said unto him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Cause God, cuckoo, plan, go and rest. This pain is too much. Go and die. If it were this time, the wife would have asked doctors to give him injection, euthanasia. Let him go and rest. The spirit of infirmity. It keeps a man down. He grounded this woman for 18 years. He grounded one man, impotent man, at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Infirmity. In Kaburukuni. Ailera. May you not be afflicted. If a man is afflicted, they begin to carry him from place to place looking for help. Looking for solution. Nobody is thinking about business anymore. Because his earth is afflicted. God wants you to rise up. He wants you to arise. But there is an enemy locking somewhere saying, I will afflict him with infirmity. But for you, I ask today that the wall of fire be built round about you and your home in the name of Jesus. I thought your amen will be better. I pray for you that a wall of fire be built round about your children. Your head will not fail. I said your head will not fail. You will not lose your head in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen 3 times. Number 3. The spirit of sin. Mystery of iniquity. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2 verse 7. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. Note also Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. Note also Mark chapter 10 verse 49 and 50. Verses 49 and 50. Alright. Second Thessalonians 2 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Until it be taken out of the way. Iniquity. Zechariah chapter 3.
verse 1 to 5. Zechariah. And he shewed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Satan stood to resist Joshua the high priest. Joshua wanted to rise. Joshua wanted to change level. Joshua wanted to move forward. The high priest of the Most High God wanted to advance, but Satan stood to resist him. Satan had a legal ground. Let's read verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of fire? Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garment and stood before the angel. Joshua too was clothed with filthy garment. And that was why the enemy could resist him. That was why he could not rise. That was why he could not shine. Because he wore a filthy garment. The enemy had a little ground to resist him. The enemy had a little ground. This Satan had every right to resist him. And he answered and spake unto those who stood by God, said, take away the filthy garment from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have put the iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And then he said, let them set the fear meter upon his head. So they set the fear meter upon his head and clothed him with garment. And the angel of the Lord stood by him. For the angel of the Lord to stand by you, for you to rise up and move into that next level, for you to rise and shine, that filthy garment must be removed. Why do you think the Bible says we should lay aside this thing and the weight that easily beset us? Look at me, everybody. You are a human being. You are not a spirit being. So you still sin. You still sin. But don't be clothed with garments of sin. If you sin, run to God and confess your sin. Repent and forsake it. But if the moment you start wearing sin as garment, Satan is already resisting you. Don't wear sin as a garment. When you sin and you don't even feel anything, your conscience is seared, then something is wrong. Anytime the enemy wants to rise, the enemy just comes. Where are you going? You can't rise. Please remove that garment of sin. Remove the sin that easily besets you. You want to fly high. And sin is a weight. There are weights. Things that are not really sin, but there are weights. So they pull you down. Why do you think athletes run light? So that they will not be slowed down. What are those things slowing you down? You know the sin. You know it. And God is saying, I want you to rise. But the spirit of sin is pulling you down. It's holding you down. You have befriended that sin long enough. It is enough. Drop it. Don't let it ruin you. Don't let it waste you. May you not be wasted. I thought your amen will be louder. You need to hear. You don't even want to hear what is going on even among people, Christians. You don't even want to hear. You see, the problem is not that you sin. The problem is the attitude. The attitude to sin. There is not a man that does not sin. But what is your attitude? When David sinned, he ran to God. When God told him, you are a Nathan prophet, Nathan came and said, you are the man. No? He came with great emotional intelligence. Told him there is the story of a man. Two men in your kingdom. One man, very rich. Very rich, rich in cattle, rich in everything. And then there is another man, poor man. He had only one lamb. And this rich man had a visitor. A visitor came to him, and then he wanted to entertain the visitor. Out of his many flocks, instead of taking one, he didn't take one. He went to take the only one that this man carried in his bosom, that even was sleeping on the same bed with the man, and slaughtered it.
David got angry. What an injustice. And then he said, the man that did that must die. He pronounced judgment. Death! And when prophet said, you are the man, what was David's attitude? He broke down and he said, I have sinned. And what did the prophet say? And thou shalt not die. You know, he has said that the person must die. So he must die. But he broke down and said, I have sinned. And the prophet said, you shall not die. You shall not die. And that was what saved him. That was what saved him. You shall not die. I pray for you, you will not die. They didn't say amen very well here. You will not die. Look at your neighbor. Point to that neighbor. Tell them, you shall not die. Let's use King James language. Thou shalt not die. Talk to another person. Thou shalt not die. Okay, Niketa. Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt not die. Since nobody said it to you, I will say it again. Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt not die. O ti pe meta. Je mo ti ere ni nawo si mi to ni thou shalt not die. Amen. The spirit of sin. So I want you to please search your life. Search your heart. What are the sins, or what is that sin that easily besets me? Please drop it. Drop it. Drop it. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. One more I wanted to talk about. Seven. Let me speak about murmuring and complaining spirit. Murmuring and complaining. Another spirit that keeps a man down. Numbers chapter 14. You read from verse 1 to verse 11. Murmuring and complaining. Complaints will complicate your matter. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Why? Stop complaining. Stop nagging. Stop murmuring. Husbands, stop complaining. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. Woman. The children of Israel murmured and complained, and God got angry with them. Murmuring and complaining is a terrible spirit that keeps a man down. Number five, the spirit of death. The spirit of death. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 and 2 and then verse 10. Let me mention that and let's go to pray. My time is up. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. Verse 10. Dead and dry. That's the spirit. What the spirit of death does. It quickly kills a star before the star rises. It quickly destroys the spirit of death. So the Lord asked the prophet to prophesy. He has asked me to prophesy also. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and bread came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Can you imagine? It was an exceeding great army. But the spirit of death incapacitated them. The spirit of death rendered them useless. Finished them. Again, I announce to you, you are not finished. Death swallowed, destroyed them, and they were very many. They were very dry. Hopelessness, hopeless situation. There are very many people who are living dead. They are living, but they are alive, but they are dead. The spirit of death. The spirit of death pushes a man to suicide. I want to end it all. The spirit of death. The spirit of death. A man is, all he's thinking is death. He's sleeping is death. When he closes his eyes, he's seeing coughing. He's having fellowship. He's always in the congregation of the dead. He's seeing dead people. Dead people. They say, oh yeah, I'm going to man, but he won't look up. He be coming. He will coming. It's not my turn. It's not my turn. Evil is not my portion. It's not my Lord. Death is not my. It's not my. No. No. I have told you many years ago, I had a revelation. I mean, Sometimes God opens my eyes to see something. Not all the time. Sometimes. And there were dead people there. They were dead. And then obviously that means they were dead. And then they were calling. Come. Come. Then I said, and I raised my voice, and I wanted to say what I said after me. The death knew. I wanted to keep the affair. Come. And I shouted,
I am not coming.
Say your whole louder.
I am not coming.
I am not coming. And I woke up. And I began to pray. That means some things or some people wanted me dead. But I am not coming. Nobody can kill you. I want you to understand that. Until you are finished, you will finish well. You will live well. You will live long. Follow instruction. Follow the word of God. It is not enough to just say amen, and yet follow God's word. Bow down your head. God wants you to rise. See, there were many people. I was a good church member. I was even a man servant. I wasn't born again. But that day Jesus came into my life, and everything about my destiny changed. This morning, as you all bow our heads and close our eyes, you are in this auditorium. You have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are the first person I'd like to pray with. I want to be born again. Pastor, let me pray with me. I want to be born again. If that is you, that's your desire, lift up your right hand. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. No reason to be shy. I want to be elevated. I want to mount. I want to go up. I want to be born again. Lift your hands. I want to pray with you.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleji. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UL Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lives. God bless you. Real good.